Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, baby, make it hot. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yo, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
And we're back. Happy Halloween, blessed Samhain to everyone. Here we are, Naked Soma, October 31st, waiting for Dr. Mark to make his way to the phones. In the meanwhile, we can't start off a Halloween show without a little Halloween music. You guys know this song.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
Am I here?
You're here. We're just playing a little Monster Mash to get into the mood.
Okay, then. This is Dr. Mark. Just got back from jury duty.
And how was jury duty?
Oh, they hung that son of a bitch.
I bet.
Let's cue the theme song and start this, B.
You want it again, huh?
I have to hear it live, otherwise I won't perform.
All right, let me get
a trained seal.
Here we go.
All right, let's boogie.
All right.
Come on, baby, make it hot. Ride the cock till you hit the spot. Come on, baby, make it hot.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yo, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yo, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Hey, guess who's here?
Who's that?
Who?
Yes, it's our favorite Philo.
Yes, Dr. Jeb.
Hey, Jeb.
How are you?
All right, welcome to Naked Soma. What do you got for us? Are you still out on the trail there or what?
No, I am. No, we're way in. We got 5 to 7, that's all we got.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I just spelunked my way back from my run around the corner there, and boy, I tell you, there's a kid that has the dreaded what's it called, Merck infection, or whatever it is, the bacterial infection.
MRSA.
MRSA. Yeah, there's a house that has a kid that's sick with MRSA. Believe me, it's like the Black Plague. My kids go right up and get candy, and everyone's like, I can't believe you're going to that house. It is the man. So, I had to do a little germ theory tutorial out there in the street.
Right.
And it was kind of fun. But let's talk about fear for a minute here, because that is getting a lot of attention down here, because they're just dropping like flies in the school down here. If you haven't heard about it, it's this super bug that is sweeping these schools around. Well, it gets a start up in Middletown, and now it's all over Westchester here in New York. And I'm not sure, is it anywhere else in the country yet? Have they got it?
Yeah, they've had it out in
Virginia.
Out in California also. And But let's not forget, folks, and we've had a couple cases up here. This is one of those things, and I could be wrong about this, but my sense is this is the sort of thing that starts in the hospital. This isn't the thing that just naturally occurs. So, right? Am I right about that?
Well, I mean, again, we're talking about... anytime you have any one of these outbreaks, they used to call them opportunistic infections. Now they're super bugs, resistant to everything that, we can do. And it's, to me, it's sort of a Led Zeppelin thing. The song remains the same. The host remains the same. You're still, like, I was trying to explain this to some of these, neighbors, I guess you call them. I said, tell you what, I'll go
hysterical
stand the,
pilots, you mean?
Yeah, no, I was nauseous. Thank God I had my trusty portable radio. I could listen to sports talk while
walking.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was so accommodating. But anyway, I got you know, to the point where I said, look, I'll go stand under that light and I'll swab everybody's throat, stick it in a Petri dish, and we'll see how much is growing in your freaking body right now that you're not even aware of. And you would be scared if you knew. I remember that episode, Northern Exposure, but I don't know how long ago it was, where they blew up the picture of the mite. I don't know, remember that one? It looked like Rodan or something, you know, this giant mite, you know, it's like a little speck thing, a dust mite. And, you know, most dust that you see in people's homes is dead skin cells.
Oh, that's just gross.
It's a nice thing. Well, Halloween, come on,
yeah,
give me a gross that out.
Yeah.
So it's this perception. We're so separate from the environment that when one of these things gets good PR, and it's like the flesh-eating bacteria from Mars, you know, Mars is dumping bacteria on us. There was another thing last week I saw. And then I got this infection. So what's clean enough? Is it, you know, unless we're going to be walking around in body condoms, you know, it's going to be interesting if we're that afraid of, and it's funny, we're afraid of the unseen stuff like that, but like last night, a client gets off the train, totally nonchalant about it. This is the consummate New Yorker. She's off the train, she goes, sorry, I was a little late. There was a guy with an open container of alcohol and a gun on him. they had to interview everybody. And she's just like, you know, I checked her eyes, you know, pupil reflexes are fine, no shock at all. But the minute I mentioned superbugs, beep, pinholes, nothing. She's just scared out of her mind. So these things have a mind, they literally are sort of like a projection of our fear, because what's fear? Fear is contingency thinking. It's not focused on what is, it's focused on what might be or what could have been. It's not something that puts you into the present moment. So you're either carrying around a phobia from the past, And you have that sort of like bias to kind of like, you know, turtle up when something happens that's even remotely related to that situation, or you're inhibited and you won't go forward because you think the next step is the, you know, is a doozy and it's all the way down to Matterhorn. So these infections, how come? I kept asking the parents. I'm like, how come everybody doesn't get it? I mean, then forget it. By the time we walked around the corner, we had discussed that vaccination, antibiotics, and everyone's like. My daughter's like, what are you giving, like a chiropractic lecture in the street? I said, I'm just standing here listening to my sports talk, and everyone won't go to this house because this one kid's got an infection, and you guys ran up there, and they think I'm a bad parent, so I have to explain. Is that something that made the news up there in your neck of the woods? Deb? Hello?
Uh-oh.
I'm losing. Uh-oh. Huh? Did that make the news, that stuff?
What's that, the MRSA?
Yeah. Up there by you.
I don't look at the news. So.
I mean, with the neighborhood. I mean, is it discussed?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, because I get clients who get it, who've had it, uh-huh. And they come in and they're like, oh, sorry, it's been, you know, a couple months since I've been away. I had the MRSA. And so then it sort of becomes, I don't know if it, we just had headlights going around, and that makes the news, certainly.
Headlights, yes.
Oh, they had a good South Park with that.
They do that nit check. They check for the nits around here. A little nit patrol. My mother used to do that. She was a nurse, a school nurse, doing the nit check.
We always, you know, first part of school, we always get a few cases, and it goes around and around. And in fact, Nora just told me, I just heard so and so's kids just had head lice. So I think that goes around. And there's a fear and a phobia about that. But the MRSA, I do hear it. I hear people talk about the flesh eating bacteria because remember a few years ago, like. Maybe even 10 years ago, the big thing was the flesh-eating staph.
No, oh, yeah.
Flesh-eating strep infection. Was it flesh-eating staph infections? And people were, arms were falling off. And I don't know. I haven't been, you know, keeping up with my bacteriology, and I don't know if the MRSA is just a new version of that. But
it's
now they've given
it's
it
a antibiotic-resistant strain, you know.
Yeah, so was that stuff. I mean, those flesh eaters were this. So now they're just giving it, like, instead of calling it flesh-eating strep or staph, now they're calling it MRSA. They've given it, like, a code name. So it's like they've sort of exofied.
Where's the bird flu? Where's SARS? Where's Legionnaires?
The swine flu. Where's the, you know, and even the AIDS epidemic, which was supposed to be, you know.
That was going to take us all out, Like I said, to me, it's like they used to have the 4:30 movie when I grew up, you know, when they had Monster Week or the 4:30 movie.
Oh, yeah.
The Rush Home. It was like, you know, today it's going to be, you know, it's King Kong versus Godzilla. They WWE these little buggers, and they give them such it's another form of terrorism. I mean, we're more afraid of anthrax than we are of Al Qaeda. You know, because we can't see it. And when you can't see it, all you're left with in terms of your awareness is this sort of primordial dread, this kind of pulling in your solar plexus that boogeyman's going to get you, you know. And,
think about what they call the little groups of terrorists.
Yeah.
Cells.
That's right.
Exactly.
You don't know where to, we discovered a cell in Hartford, Connecticut.
That's right. Get the duct tape. Everyone hide. And the thing is like, you know, look at the way they name the immune system, the natural killer cell, you know. Yeah, so it's always been this sense of the environment is out to get you. It holds all the death is in the air. It's in the, you know, and there's nothing about what goes on inside us and what our capacity to overcome all that. And there's no strategy for it either, other than to put a bunch of chemicals in your blood. And I've kind of, you know, blabbed on here about, you know, they give these kids all these anti-inflammatories and stuff when they have kidney infections and things like that. And I always ask the parents, you know, I just want to know the drug that fights gravity, because apparently all these kids are falling on the ground because they can't, their tissues are all puffed up. And, you know, like I was explaining to this one mom just now, I said, look at the way that kid's walking. That kid's gait is more of an immune deficiency to me than anything they're going to stick in his throat and give him pills for, because he can't pump his dirty blood out of his legs as long as he's walking like that.
Yeah, but as you and I both know, the locomotor system has nothing to do with the immune system.
Of course, there is nothing to do with that. See, that's why I say, you know, the acid test is if you go back about 150 years into the South when they used to hang people, and they probably still do down there, we're just our friends in the South. The reason why the person dies, the old-fashioned way of hanging, they hung you by your wrist, not by your neck, and you basically would... your lymph would kill you because it wasn't pumping, and so your poisons would just stay in your body to the point where your kidneys couldn't handle it, and you would die of your own poisons. Of course, if they hang you by your neck, different story. But the principle is that your voluntary motor system, you know, moves the lymph, which is something they don't even teach in school. I mean, if you look at a kid's textbook, it's circulation, it's arteries, veins, capillaries, and no lymph. And the lymph is what carries, you know, all of the immune components and all of the waste products. Yeah, it's kind of the gutter system that then gets used to clean the system out. So, you know, if you're not moving, you're not pumping it. If you're not pumping it, then you basically are poisoned. And that's what creates all the inflammation. So I always get fascinated when they just go, oh, just dump something else in the blood and that'll take it away. So all anti-inflammatory is really just vasoconstriction medicine. So if they said, we're going to choke the blood vessels so no more blood goes there, and then you have less inflammation because less blood is going there, well, if less blood's going there, less help is going there. So yep. That's just, you know, that's just my little soapbox on that, which I was pontificating in the darkness around the New Rochelle.
Mm-hmm.
So phone number...
Did you see that video that I forwarded? Well,
the happiness video?
The happiness one?
You know, I watched a little of it, and I guess we'll put it up on Blog Soma tonight if you guys want to see it. Just give like 25 words or less to the crowd here. I'm just going to give the number here in case anyone wants to call in. It's 646-478-4847 on the show here with Naked Soma. So, Mercola had something up there about a happiness video. So
Dr. Gillick from Harvard, and he's a psychologist, and he's talking about that we can basically, he's talking about synthetic happiness, and that synthetic happiness is just as good as real happiness, that we manufacture it, and that most of the time, and he was kind of talking about how you can do that, and the thing that turned me on about it was that it was kind of, again, he was nibbling at the bridge of positive physiology, but he didn't really, to me, he didn't really get there. It was like a guy that gets 0-2 real quick on the batter, and then he's nibbling around. And he just keeps it. He walks him because he was trying to nibble instead of going right for the heart of it. And he's a psychologist, so he's kind of sticking with the story and how. But he was talking. He was talking about the brain and the frontal lobe and how that separates us from all the other animals. And he's basically what a lot of us might consider coping strategies. It was like I give you. Two things, and I tell you that you get to, you know, you have to choose one and give one back, and then you keep the one. It turns out to be a piece of shit, mm-hmm. and a year later you go, you know what, I'm really happy that I had that piece of shit. That was really the best one. And that was a classic example of synthetic happiness where, or these people that, you know, like he had a great statistic. People who were 1 year removed from paraplegia and 1 year removed from winning the lottery, they were both just as happy. And that statistically, and he goes, so he was looking at these things saying, what is happiness? It's not about all these things that we want. It's about the state that we create. And he, like I said, if you go back and watch it now, I think you'll get what I was talking about sort of a pitcher nibbling and on the strike zone and not really getting it, at least in the context of what we talk about in positive physiology and really truly how to sustain it without going back to the story, sort of going, you know, going on.
Yeah, well, people confuse that happiness thing because they think it's a sustainable state. Happiness is experienced in the moment, usually at the bottom of your breath out. It's a release point, and then what you invite back in is usually all the crap from the, you know, the all singing, all dancing crap of the world, the Fight Club thing. So,
hey, I got to run for a bit. I'll be back in about 20.
All right,
then.
We're waiting
right.
for you.
All right, then, as he skips away, what's that country thing I want to play for him? What's his thing? What's his theme music, damn it?
Oh, let me see. It's under music, I think.
Yeah, this is spontaneous. What is it called?
Oh, you know what? It's under, crud. Hold on, let me see if I can find it.
This is going nowhere.
No.
All right, then.
Let's see. Here, why don't I play this while we're looking for it?
All right, yeah, play something, will you?
Little Halloween witch laughter.
What's this thing? What's this? What's this?
I got it.
All right.
Wait a minute. Yeah, no, that's not it. Wait, no, that isn't it. Oh shit! All right, somebody ate the file. Mercury's going direct tomorrow, right?
You know more than me.
Because I've had enough.
You
I've
really
enough.
Have, and you know. Okay, I'm gonna give you one here. How about this one? Boozy, boozy, bop. There you go. Get that one a little louder. Yeah, you need that one. All right. All right, so why don't we skip forward to our interview here with our friend Joan there.
Yes.
Earlier today, Val had a chance to catch up with one of our local woos, Joan Cara, and you spelunked... I'm saying spelunk twice in one show. Shoot me now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find the Jeb thing yet?
No, I stopped looking.
You know, all right. You completely suck out loud tonight.
Yeah, well.
What does it say?
Which one are you looking for?
The one he goes for his tip at the end.
It's under James. It's right above Joan.
James Brown Feelgood. That's not him.
Yes.
No, the country one you play.
Oh, that one never uploaded properly. That's the one that I play for him.
I want the country one. All right, forget it.
Forget about it.
You completely suck. All right, so let's
yeah,
go.
Well, some people like it that way, okay?
Yeah, well, you know, all right. So this is the one Joan Cara Halloween. Okay, so that's the one we're going to play?
Yeah, I grabbed Joan Cara this morning. She's a world-renowned psychic medium.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I know you're busy later, but could you give us a little interview? And so she had a few minutes, so she was very accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
So I recorded it. I don't know if it's going to be loud enough when I play it or if it's going to be too loud because we haven't had a chance to check it, so I'm going to pop it up here. But she talks about a lot of interesting things. And then she goes off on a tangent, which happens. All right.
Now,
ready?
Before you play that,
yes?
Let's just give a little instruction only here. Where is the frickin' chat room on this thing?
Okay.
Because if they want to chat with us, they can chat on our site, but I want to know where they can chat on this thing.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a chat room up here. So
yeah, I think it's on the front page somewhere. It'll have a chat session over on the right, if I'm thinking correctly. And, of course, you have to start the chat session, so I've done that. Here it is.
Where is it? Just click to listen. Where's chat?
Hold on a second. I'm putting it on here. Okay.
Should do this, like, before the show. But
why? Why we're eco?
Yeah, exactly. There's my excuse.
The hell with it.
So where is it?
All right, Ashbet, will you? All right, so if you go on the front page...
Yeah, I'm a country boy. Yeah, what? Okay.
Wait a second, I'm not on there yet. Oh, God.
You're about as into this as me. Okay.
Wait a second, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I am on the page, and I don't see it.
But that'll be a next week thing, seeing as the chat is completely foobar here. You got to be kidding me. You can't find this chat room thing?
I'm looking.
Ah, you lame as hell.
Listen,
all right. If,
go,
since we can't do this, go to somaspace.org, and we have a chat room there if you want to chat with us. I'll go there because I know that's going to be there when I get there. If you find this other one, interject with the interview, but make with the Joan Carrot thing already because we're running out of time.
All right. I have to get back to the switchboard now, which
right.
is now hidden somewhere. Oh, that's not it. Here we go. All right. This is Joan Cara, and come on. H-I. All right. Here we go. And I'm here with psychic medium Joan Cara, a wonderful person and a good friend. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Valerie.
How are you?
Happy Halloween. Happy trick-or-treating.
Yeah, you
well, I don't know, Frank. Okay.
Stay away from the candy, but boy, that stuff is sure fun.
Yeah. Do you have a costume on?
Yeah, right now I'm dressed as a college professor who is tired of teaching.
So that means you're wearing tweed.
Yeah, there you go. I'm actually wearing a shirt that says "Bite Me, Salem, Massachusetts" on it for the occasion. So we got.
I'm dressed as a woman waking up.
Nice.
Nice. It's very scary looking.
Sexy in the pajamas in the morning.
More like scary. The hands all hot hair. Standing up.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I had to call you for today. We had to have you on the show.
Great.
It's just one of those opportunities that we don't want to miss. So talk to me, Joan. Tell me about this time of year, about Halloween and the psychic mediumship and all the good stuff.
Well, we're very popular now because Halloween's become a big party time. So they all love to have psychics come. And so I've been trick-or-treating at a lot of parties. The party I had to work tonight got canceled, or the budget for me got canceled.
Oh, geez.
But that's okay. I'm a bit burnt out. It is an exciting time because it's a time when, you know, the summer is becoming into the fall and winter. So it represents that energy of the plants dying and things like that,
mm-hmm.
or just sleeping, getting dormant. So it does represent going into the underground, and traditionally it's when it's the best time for having medium work, okay? Because it's this whole energy of the dying of the plants and everything, and when we get more into hibernation. For me, it's an active time, so let's see what's happening. I am doing a seance November 9th at the YWCA in Greenwich, and it's a donation of $20 from 7 to 9 p.m.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, so that's going to be, if you need to come, you could call me at 203-531-6387. I'll repeat it, 203-531-6387, and just, you know, reserve a space, because it is getting a bit crowded in there, okay?
Oh,
so I will be doing messages from people who have passed on. It, you know, all those people will be connected to people in the audience, so there's not going to be strays.
Oh, that's good.
People who were in that room 100 years ago, so nothing like that. It's going to be relatives and friends of the audience.
That's fun. I was at one event that you did where you went around the room and you blew me away. You totally blew me away.
Yeah, thanks. That's why I have to do this for a living. I do this for a living, but it's dead, you know, it's kind of...
Definitely. So how difficult is it for you to connect with someone who has passed on?
No, that's not difficult. That's why I'm able to do it. I mean, it's easy. It's surprisingly easy. I don't know how I do it. But one of the things that's important is allowing yourself to do it, because when I first started out as a psychic, you know, reading clients, I never expected to read anyone who's passed on. So it wasn't something that I thought you could do. And I got pushed into it. So it was basically somebody challenging me to do it. You know, do you ever hear letters or names? And I said, no, but she said, well, if you could, what would it be? And I gave her the name, which was her son who was dying in a coma from a car accident. Now, what's interesting is we limit ourselves. So once I saw that I was able to do it, I allowed myself to get the names, and they were oftentimes people passed on. So, you see, we have limitations about our beliefs of what we can and cannot do. But how do you know unless you try?
Right, that's so true.
Yeah. So I learned that from, you know, it's such a simple thing. And it's really about concentrating. It's as though you're really, really listening to the thoughts inside your mind. You know, we all have little crazy things that pass through our mind, but to take the time to listen and hear and try to and be like a, almost like a sponge, or I have to be very detached, okay? Because sometimes I disagree with what I hear, like if they're giving advice to their relative and I, it's like, well, that's not my opinion, but, you know, they're more conservative and strict and they don't think you should blah, 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 you know? So, you know, you're the messenger. You're not the, you know what I mean? You're not the messenger. You're just giving them a letter or a telephone call.
Wow, that's kind of freaky.
No, it feels very natural. And
you.
It's fun. Sometimes they have a lot of, you know, it's very surreal in a certain way. You have to have a good sense of humor. The spirits have a good sense of humor. So some of it's tough. The hard parts are I did a bereavement group of all parents who lost children. Children could be any age. And that was, how do you find the words? These people are in so much pain.
Right.
And somehow you just have to find words of comfort. So that, to me, was, you know, that's never going to be easy. You know?
No way.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that when people pass to the other side, they're still around.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing to me, yeah. They're a consciousness. They're very aware of what you're doing. It's as though they watch you on TV or... So they're around.
So we shouldn't fear death.
No, I actually think it's a miracle. A miracle, birth is a miracle, and so is death. It's painful to us because we don't have our friends on the physical plane with us, so we miss them.
Right.
But, you know, they don't go into nothingness. It's a consciousness.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I never feared death. Dying, maybe, but not death.
Yeah, dying because it seems uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's like, I've never tried that before.
Yeah, you get stuck in a, you know, if you're in a hospital, you get stuck watching a TV show all the time. Okay. The channel doesn't get changed, you know, it's like, oh, and you're in diapers, or you know, all that stuff. Or it could be something physical, like a car accident or something, you know, horrible things like fire, so...
Right.
But I did hear from those spirits saying they get very detached from the pain. It's as though they go numb.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I like that.
Me too.
So, do you pick anyone up, like, even over the phone if somebody calls
you? Yes. So, maybe we have someone for you, Valerie.
Ooh.
I do get a male energy around you. Is there an older man who passed?
Yes.
Okay. He has a little belly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some gray hair. So I don't know if it's a grandfather or a father. It's just an energy of an older man.
Yeah, it's probably grandfather.
Yeah, and he's, I don't know, I see something. I'm not sure if it's, did he even smoke a cigar now and then?
He smoked for sure. I don't know what he smoked. Well, I know what he smoked. I know what he didn't smoke.
Did he? Yeah, it's a different generation. Did he smoke a cigar ever?
I don't know. All right.
Maybe there's a celebration. Is there a birth coming up?
I hope not.
News of, that date was yours. Is it a birth?
I don't know.
Grandfather. Any relatives from your grandfather? You may not know about it. He showed me cigars, so they could be news of a birth.
Oh, that could be. You know what? That side of the family is kind of big.
Yeah, there's news of a birth. There's another member of the family that's going to be. There's a new member of the family coming in.
Interesting.
And so it's, and your grandfather's related, you know, it's from his lineage.
Okay.
And, anyone, did he have blue eyes?
Yes.
Yeah, very piercing, beautiful
yep.
blue eyes.
Yep.
Yeah, he's right there now. He's smiling. He's going, this is a treat. He says, it seems like to the audience it's a trick of what I'm doing, but he said, this is a treat. He's coming in. And He keeps talking about someone has very rosy cheeks.
Oh.
Is that your grandmother?
Interesting.
It's something you would know. You know, people would say, oh, she always had rosy cheeks.
It's possible. Well, you know what? My grandmother on the other side, who he was very close with, in-laws that got along, go figure. She had kind of rosy cheeks, and I have them a little bit, too, of course.
Okay, so maybe she's there, too, saying hello.
That could be.
Yeah.
They used to hang out and play cards.
Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice to hear that the in-laws got along.
Yep. Unbelievably.
She has any problems with... She keeps talking about her shoes, uncomfortable shoes.
She always takes her shoes off.
She what?
Yeah, she always wanted to take her shoes off. She had the bunion thing going on.
Oh, okay. So she's... because she...
All right, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, what happened? Joan faded away there.
I don't know. Let's see if she comes back. Well, we can just talk.
Interesting.
Yes, actually. Oh, well, she just went on talking about the weird stuff with my family, and then she went into talking about the area in which I live now, which apparently has a lot of freaky alien things and... kind of witchy things and metaphysical. She talked a lot about rocks. She just kept talking about all the big rocks, and she saw me sitting on rocks and talking about rocks. I don't know. It was so strange.
All right, well, I wish I would have had a chance to talk to her because she's done some live stuff with us, you know.
Yeah, she's good.
In the other places. And my biggest problem with this whole psychic thing anyway, and this goes back to the fear of the invisible stuff. You know, maybe Jeb rolls back, we're going to talk about it with him, is that because you can't see it. She sees it. You don't. All you got to do is cover your eyes, and your body goes into a state of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute you take the visuals out, you know, your level of apprehension goes up. So to me, anytime someone's talking about dead people, or they be people that live in another room, or people you don't know, whatever it is, it's still at the level of stranger. You don't have any reference for it. So that's why, to me, the fear comes up, because the system has no other way to engage with that other than to say, the frig is that? It literally goes outside itself. It goes exo, and it says, I don't understand this. Please help me back to where I was okay before. And if you can't get back with any kind of a rhythm, it just gets stuck out there. And then it becomes something that you dread, or something you resist, or something that comes up, but you don't want to go that way. It's like, you know, pulling the dog to the vet kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't have any influence over what's going to happen. So when someone mentions someone that died, and now they have a message for you, I'm like, you know what? When this sucker was alive, I couldn't really get in touch with them. Now that they're dead, they have all the time to call me. So I would ask questions like that about with Joan, because I kind of get the feeling like there's almost like, people can't accept conversations don't always end well. You know?
Yeah.
It's like sometimes, just like that interview, it just gets cut off.
Yeah, I wonder why. I listened to it before. It was okay.
Yeah, but, you know, we can always put that up, you know, as a, what do you call it, on the blog, so people want to listen to it, you know,
oh,
whatever.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
No big deal. So anyway, the whole point of Halloween is to understand the motivation of your fear. What would fear? Fear has to have some value for you.
Hold on 1 second.
Oh, he's back.
We're clicking in. It's
he's
the Jebster.
Back.
Yay!
Okay, he missed all the exciting stuff with Joan there for a minute. We were talking with Joan. Joan care about dead people there for a minute. And
she's still here.
No, well, she's not here, and the MP3 of the interview tanked about 10 minutes in. So she's whisked away. It's a psychic on Halloween. It's like, you know.
It's a psychic on Halloween on MP3 who's talking about dead people, and then she's back up in the ethers now. So.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, Mercury had its way with it, so that's that.
Well, that's typical.
You know, but let's get back to fear. Like, last week we had those fires,
while you're
right?
talking about fear, I'm just going to put this in the background. Hold on, let me lower it a little bit here so we don't want to overpower. Let me see if that's okay.
Fear is me in the middle of the night getting up and not wanting to wake up one of the brothers, so the other brother wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
Tiptoeing around, you hear that little and you know it's about to erupt.
Okay, I got it here. You know, every piece of electronic in my life absolutely sucks.
Really? We're having an inventory of what sucks in your electronic. Well, you live in a place where electricity is optional, apparently. It kind of pulses in to the planes up there. What am I doing? What are you playing?
It's a little scary music. Talk about fear. Go ahead.
I can't even hear it. All right.
Well, I don't want it too loud.
Can't hear it at all.
I don't hear it at all. All
right. I'll put it up more. Hold on. This piece of shit.
Will you relax? You're like as tense as a, you know.
You would be too if you were me.
Maybe I would. Now it sounds like an army is coming through.
Yeah, it's scary music.
Where was it going? Well, yeah, I wanted to get back into this for a minute, because last week we had the West Coast stuff. What is that?
It's just an eerie Halloween noise.
Okay, even. Oh, you're killing me. And, what I kept hearing from people, because we had people last week that were in town from out west, and some of them had, you know, escape fires and things like that. And I've never had to evacuate because of a fire, or I've had, you know, that experience personally.
It's loud enough now.
Jesus, I'm yelling over myself. I'm like, what the? Just kill that thing. You get another one of these for that.
Oh, come on. I can't.
Actually, you get this one too. There you go. That'll bust you out of your freaking map. You eco up a tree. Yeah.
Oh man.
So you know, it's like my biggest question to the people that I was talking to. They were from the West Coast. They were in town for the Barbatini last week, and you know, was that they. Exactly. Yeah, we might give a little review of that later. I don't know, but it's like you escaped from a place that was, you know, destabilized to say the least, and then you come to, you know, you're 3,000 miles away, and you're getting calls from your family members, and people getting calls, you know, every break from, you know, what was going on out there, and you know, I was like, well, what's going to happen when this happens, you know?
Back to Cali.
Right.
Back to Cali. I don't think so. I'm going back to
that kind of thing. So I was trying to get to the point where it's like, if after you've done something to get to a higher ground and kind of gotten out of the way of a fear, it's that whole mentality of this time, next time, meantime that I talk about a lot. Whether it's pain, whether it's, you know, something you're trying to avoid at work, whatever it is, fear doesn't control you. It's trying to keep you alive. It's trying to drive you back to status quo, and it's making you say, you're not aware of the things that you're not aware of. And so it's opening up and giving you more peripheral view, and it's giving you a lot of things that are usually in background mode come marching forward. So how do you deal with that? Each of the domains deals with fear differently. Of course, egos are built on fear. We're mm-hmm. built on flight. Run away. So our deal is instinctive when it comes to fear, because we're not so much sort of fearful, but we're sort of fear-free. So our biggest thing is the excitement, the energy fear gives us. It makes us feel alive. So we put ourselves in danger. We put ourselves in peril. We put ourselves at the edge of chaos in order to feel the most alive. We hate being bored, basically. Eco's biggest fear is being bored.
Yep, absolutely
okay?
Sucks.
It is a total dread. So what happens is that we will create a state of anxiety to avoid boredom. And that's basically the two ends of the rope of normality. You have at one end where you can't handle anything and you're totally anxious, and you're fried, and at the other end, where everything's sort of kind of status quo and kind of nothing's happening, and you get bored. So this whole valley of normality thing is like to get back to normal is sort of a false god to me. It doesn't make sense. And that's why I was trying to get at, you know, everything you're carrying that has to do with fear is built on that model of there's actually a place called normal, and it's, you know, not a city in the Midwest. And how do you get yourself around these things? How do you break down the way that the world looks at fear? I mean, because we're in the age of terrorism, we're in the age of, you know, where anything can happen anywhere, anytime, and you can't cover all the bases, and there's superbugs, and there's fires, and all that stuff going on.
Uh-huh.
And so how do you, and then if you deal with it religiously, well, this religion only works for that, and this religion only works for that. So, you know, I wanted to get you guys' opinion about that, being it's Halloween, and
hey,
hopefully
be coming to your town soon.
Yeah, who knows? A bug could be coming down the street right now. Who knows? So we got a couple minutes left. 646-478-4847. And if you have any Halloween stories, any spooky stuff happening to you, any weird stuff, you know, we just had Joan on there. Any feng shui that's been going a little differently? We're still kind of finishing up the retrograde. A couple weeks, we got a Mars retrograde, I believe.
The 15th of November.
And you you blogged about that. So
I did blog. Mm-hmm.
Professor Val at, professorval.blogspot.com.
Yep.
Has that up there. And I'm not sure if you track back that to Blog Soma yet. But
not
anyway.
Yet, but I will.
Okay. So all that stuff's going to be up there later. We'll probably get the Joan interview up there, too, somehow. We can do that kind of tricky stuff in our spare time. Because, you know, we're sort of, you know, sort of retarded exos, I guess, in the way. So, just want to see if something will play. Oh, too loud. Everything's weird tonight.
Well, what do you expect? It's the last hurrah.
The last hurrah.
Well, before Mercury goes direct.
Gentlemen, need I remind you, you are in a court of law?
There you go. So anyway, hopefully my daughter's going to be calling in to run some sanity to this in a couple of minutes and give us a Halloween report. And he raises an apple, things like that. If she is, you know, done, you know, entertaining the neighborhood when they left.
Crystal meth on cookies.
Yeah, something, you know. Somebody slipped someone a Mickey. I don't know. She went as a female boxer this year, so she was freezing her bippy off out there. But she said, you know, she can't wear a sweatshirt because it would detract from the outfit. So.
Oh, jeez. It's cold out.
It was getting nasty there at the end. The wind was kicking up. It was Halloween. It was, you know, it's supposed to be cold. I mean, this time last week it was like 80 degrees out. So if she calls in a minute, we'll take her call. And until then, we'll entertain you at 646-478-4847. And what I wanted to get to, you know, as if she calls in, fine. But, you know, we're looking at November now and getting into the holiday rhythm here. And I wanted to get back to how all four domains deal with fear. From a different perspective, a Philo deals with fear from the past. Something that happened before might happen again, and they live in that sort of phobic state. So as you go to the holidays, think about all the things that are going to happen in the routine from now until, you know, January 1st. We got 2 months of this S that's going to come at us.
Jeez.
And it's like, you know, your weekends are not your weekends anymore. The things, the travel plans, shopping, you know, who knows what the weather's going to do. A lot of hassles, a lot of just, you know, noise. And so Philos deal with it traditionally like they deal with everything. And they tend to hack it. They tend to look at the bright side. They tend to focus on the things that they tend to put a smile on it. So they whistle through the graveyard slowly because they're not walking very fast because they're terrified that something's going to go wrong. And that's what I was noticing out there tonight. Oh, don't go to that house. It has the dreaded bug. They avoid. That's their strategy for fear, avoidance. Okay, so that's the Philo way. And I'm kind of going to blend this in with the somascopes here in a minute if we get to that. So going around the horn, what does an Anto do with fear? What would you think? Attack.
Mm-hmm.
So when an Anto's fearful, they get angrier. They get less tolerant. They get more exercise because they are into self-preservation. So instead of avoid, they're going to go and they're going to attack you. And they're going to attack you visually because they feel that you are a threat to either their well-being or maybe their life. So they tend to over-respond. They tend
That's
to get...
Antas always do that. They always
right,
do that.
But the fear is a kind of a trigger for that for them because what happens when Antas just angry and looking for a fight, there's a governor on it. When they're fearful, you can't call them in. It's like they go way off the reservation because they don't have any way of grounding themselves because the disturbance is inside them. The physiology is running amok. They can't stabilize. So they have to go running around, and there's no point where they can actually feel like the doors are closed and everything's safe in there because they have to get their physiology back in range. So they tend to go at the person or at the thing, and they get more obsessive-compulsive about it. They kind of get a little nutty, and there's no way to ground them. So when you're dealing with a Philo in fear that just wants to hide, the Deonta wants to seek. There you go. That's those two. And those are kind of, like I said, they're very obvious. The eco, because they get excited with fear. They feel. It's like, you know, they're like the ones that get off on the roller coaster and scary movies and stuff like that. They love that emotional energy that fear gives them, because it means that something new is going to happen. So it's more anticipatory. It's more, you know, something that, hey, what's going to happen next? So even though they might be completely, you know, peeing their pants, a certain part of them that's witnessing this from a standpoint of, this is all a movie. This doesn't matter. It's all temporary. So they tend to get a little delusional with fear.
So if you go to the X Games, like the Winter X Games, you're going to find a few ecos hanging around, right?
Yeah, because they get off on the energy of destabilization. They like that idea of everything just going foobar all over the place, all around them. So it's like there's that sense of annihilation that is exhilarating to an eco, from a standpoint that everybody's in it, nobody's spared. It's equal. So the fear is something that could be, you know. Even though it's like, you know, quote-unquote bad, to an eco, it means something's different. And dynamics is all they're asking for, so that's where they go for it. Now, if they get stuck with it, then it's another story. And the exos, because they don't really understand emotions that they can't wrap their minds around, that isn't something that they can reason with, fear has to do with an option being cut off in the future. So a fear for them is more of a crowding feeling. It's more claustrophobic. So they tend to get kind of clammy, and they tend to kind of seal up, and you don't get much feedback from them. So when an exo is fearful, they just disappear. They just literally just turtle up, and you get closed sesame. And it's like they just shut down. It's like the old bistros here in New York, you know, they pull that like iron gate down in front of them, and they close the office for the night. And it's like they just basically shields, like Batman, you know, and that's the way they deal with it. So it's a different kind of avoidance, where a philo is going to avoid interaction and contact and things like that. The exo is just going to avoid engaging. It's just going to completely cut off connection and just drop you. So that's sort of what happens with the four phases of fear there, and that's why it's something that if you recognize what kind of approach you're taking towards whatever it is you're fearing, you'll know what domain is directing your attention at that point, and know, okay, if I shift, I'm still in fear, but if I shift the way I process that fear, what happens? And you just, like I said, if the more you start to notice which one you're in, you know which one you're going to get the most support from and be able to deal with it for yourself. And then if you recognize that with other people, you just shift their perspective to one of the other domains, and you realize that, hey, they're not as fearful when they look at it from an eco perspective or an onto perspective when they're doing a philo avoidance thing. So it's like play the worst-case scenario out. And that gets into some of the physiology about the domains too, so I might as well, you know, bark up that tree a little bit. The eco is eternally optimistic. That's the perspective on the future. Future is going to be better. We're going to look forward to it. Think of a teenager thinking of the future. They're depressed as hell now, but they have this perspective that adulthood is better. Of course, when they get there, you know, it keeps going. Middle age will be better. In the middle, oh, no, retirement will be better. Are we done yet? You know, that kind of a thing. But the other three have a different mindset. The exo is WYSIWYG. So they take a normative approach to the future. They expect it to be basically just like the present. They don't perceive anything should have to change unless things become unnecessary. So if things get sloughed off in the future that are no longer necessary and can get replaced, but nothing really is expected to be better or worse. It's sort of an even keel, where an onto can imagine anything in the future happening that's different than the present, but their mindset is that it's going to be something I co-create, I bring into the world, I influence. It's not coming from the world, it's coming from me, where, of course, our bunny philos have the worst-case scenario mentality most of the time because their mentality is self-preservation and they think in a very linear way, so consequently, they're always trying to ward off the future that they most would like to avoid at that point. And so it's hard to reassure a philo when they think about the future because it's sort of a scary thing. They can't see it. Again, if you can't see it, you're only going to feel it, and if you feel something that you don't have any visuals on, you tend to get a little bit withdrawn from it, and you don't really want to go towards it because you don't know what it is. Like my encounter with Mon's skunk last night. I had a little Tourette's fit on with a skunk on the front lawn last night at about 4 a.m., and came out behind the tree, and you know, the whole tail thing, and I gave him a lecture. You know, and I was just trying to get, and I had a little bathroom crisis at the time, so it was an interesting little conversation with the skunk. Anto Skunk, Eco Man. It was, you know, I won. I basically, it was like the rules of negotiation, and I out-screamed him. Woke up a couple of neighbors, but, you know, I had to get through. That was my Halloween moment. So looking forward now that I've yapped myself to death and my daughter has not called me, which is, you know, who knows why.
And your daughter is what? She's Anto.
She's an Anto. She just didn't want to, Daddy. I didn't want to. So heck with her. Last time I asked her to do anything. So looking forward, now that we're coming through the Eco Week, and it's been a wild Eco Week, as I told you guys last week.
Mm-hmm.
Wrapping up the retrograde, and as we get through the holidays and stuff, this week we have the clock change.
Yep.
Get out your Jungian inductions. Because, yes.
Oh.
You know, we're going to be dealing with that.
He blows all right. He blows big time.
Mm-hmm. So the fallback is usually the ones the adults love and the kids can't stand because it gets dark early and it means the beginning of, you know, the true sense of winter where the, you know, leaves off the trees, it gets colder out, that kind of stuff. So what's going to be going on this week is we're coming out of the eco and into, yes, the dreaded, and, you know, I sometimes you just got to just say it like it is. You know, we're going back to the exo. We're going back to suspicion. Like I said before, they're WYSIWYGGERS. So what you see is what you get. So the suspicion comes up because they want to know what's next. So what happens as you come out of this, now we're going to be dealing with a retrograde and then an eco week and then a time change.
And
so
another retrograde after that.
And then another retrograde on the 15th coming out of that. So it's like the somatic terrain is going to get really kind of choppy here. So you have to be able to balance yourself and say, if you don't know what your primary domain is, by the way, and it is 10 to 9, go to somaspace.org and take the two profilers and get to know this narrative, get to know these stories, because it makes your behavioral responses and your behavioral choices more apparent to you, and you're able to understand and read how people are going to be responding to you based on what you're communicating. And it's how you shift your attention within those domains really determines the quality of your experiences and the quality of your conversations, which to me is what life is. So looking forward to this exo week coming up, you want to start taking on the mindset of what system or what set of rules are you going to be employing going into the holidays? Are you going to just be, you know, the diplomat? Are you going to be someone that says, you know, I want a different, I want a little nuance this year. I'm going to have Thanksgiving with five strangers. You know, what are you going to be doing to make these things called holidays, which I really just don't look at them that way. I just don't really take it on that way. Something that's going to be beneficial and supportive to you in your life. Because most people look at the holidays as obligation. They used to call them, I think they still call them that in church, holy days of obligation, right? And that's why this time you get a little window here from the 2nd to the 9th to sort of get that cleaned out for yourself. And so use the exo week as a way to get your emotions, get your relationships, and get your ideas about the holidays either on paper or out in front of you or just externalized, like the exos like, so that you can really see what it is that you're afraid of, what it is that you're dreading, what it is that you're dragging into the scene. Because you're going to just, if you don't express it one way, it's just going to show up another way. And that's really what I wanted to get across, you know, this week for that. And that's what the motivation of all fear is. All fear tells you to do is to look, discern, look again. Get a picture. You cannot be afraid of something that you see, even if it's terrifying to look at, whatever it is, you know, your financial stuff, relationship stuff. We always turn our eyes and don't look at it, and it becomes more fearful. If you look at it, then you can communicate with it. If you don't, then all you get is that dread of having to communicate to it, and that's what makes things heavy, and it's hard to travel light when you're doing that. So there's your somascopes for the week, and we will throw it to Jeb with the tip.
Wait.
Oh, wait, find it. Yeah, I've got to find that now.
All right. I got it right here. Oh, right. Son of a... Here it is.
Wow! I feel good.
Okay. So since Mark stole my tip of the week already with the... actually, you kind of went into it. I was going to take a tip of the week from our old good buddy Ferris there. And he said, you know, think into the things that make you afraid. And think what's the worst case scenario. So I was going to say, take five things, or take your top three fears, and go into them and say, and take them to the end. Take them to the, what's the worst case? If you're afraid of this, what's the worst case of scenario? And then play it out through the end and then how you would be. And then, you know what? It won't be so bad. But since Mark already sort of tipped you on that one, I'm going to give you a more practical one. And it's a segue from what Mark was just talking about. Go to somaspace.org. That's still our URL, right?
Yep.
Today.
Go to somaspace.org for tonight. And click on Simples, and then go all the way to the bottom and click on Coherence Calendar, and print that out. And I think it'll show, it will be, well, hopefully by tomorrow it'll be November. That's going to not only give you the days to do Simples, which is you can read about, but on that, it's going to give you just a one-page calendar, and then go through and organize your holidays, because it'll give you at least November, and do what Mark was just talking about. But this way you can really use this week to your advantage. This is the XO week. And organize. What are you going to do the week before Thanksgiving? What are you going to do during Thanksgiving? Kind of grid it. Put it on a grid. Get it exofied so that you can really see it and let the let the week take advantage of the wave that's coming through, so that when you get to that time, it'll be played out at least through that exo domain, and it will be a little bit less surprising for you. For your ecos, maybe you don't want to do that because then it would take some of the fun out of it, because then there wouldn't be so much drama and trauma, but. But anyway, that would be a good exercise, and for certainly for the Philos, it would give you a sense of security going into the holidays of obligation. And that is your Dr. Jeb's tip of the week.
All right.
All right. So now it's time for Val, and take a deep breath, and your quote of the week.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
All right. I thought I would do something just a little bit different. Since it is Halloween, which is known as Samhain, to our pagans who are listening out there. It's a time of year where we talk about death. So death is something that a lot of people fear. And the other thing that people fear is aging. And at this time of year, it's actually the crone time. The pagans have the maiden and the crone and all that stuff as you go through the year. And the crone, of course, being the old, witchy-looking lady that we see. And I found this quote from Crones Don't Whine, Concentrated Wisdom for Juicy Women by Jean Bolan. And she goes on and she says a few different things. And then she says, a crone is a woman who has wisdom, compassion, humor, courage, and vitality. She has a sense of truly being herself, can express what she knows and feels, and take actions where need be. She does not avert her eyes or numb her mind from reality. She can see the flaws and imperfections in herself and in others, but the light in which she sees them is not harsh and judgmental. She has learned to trust herself to know what she knows. So I kind of like that. And it's a more positive view on aging and on death and rebirth. So there you got it.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Throw me a frickin' bone here.
Oh.
I'm the boss. Need the info.
All right, there you go. All right, so we have once again stumble-bummed our way through another broadcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. There was a lot of stuff we didn't get said. I just wanted to circle back about the, because we did attend the Bart Latini last weekend. Those of you who listened to last week's show, Richard Bartlett was in town to do his Matrix Energetics shoe. I think it was, 3.5 days, counting Friday night. It was interesting. I knew some of the people in the crowd were old clients of ours and mine, and I just, getting a read on it a couple of days later, because the circus took off, I guess, Tuesday morning and left town, and, if you want to go to matrixenergetics.com, of course, I need to sell more spaces at seminars for him, right? There was an interesting thing that surfaced for me as that whole thing moved through, is that, and this is something I've talked about a lot with clients here, is that necessity is automatic. When people do what's necessary, what's possible tends to get put on the back burner. And when you do what's possible first, necessity comes along for the ride. So just reverse that this week and do things that you think are sort of like out of the realm of what's necessary. Do something that you think is a little bit outside of the routine, and it opens up the pathway to to kind of explore things from a different angle and start realizing that you don't have to follow what the road in front of you has taken. You could stop and look around, check the map, and maybe take a little bit of a detour, because life's going to take you on them anyway. Why don't you make one of them your own? And that's really what his message was to me, was throw away the sheet music and be able to play again. And that's what he was teaching these people all weekend. And I went back, I guess Saturday afternoon, I went back again a little bit on Monday. And you just saw the change from Friday night, that look of horror in their face when he's dropping people on the ground and doing his thing. And then by Monday, they're laughing about it. So it was a special thing for me to pick up after he left. Because when he's there, you're just going, will he stop? So I'll just leave you guys with not that one, with a little tune as everyone flies home to the West Coast. And we will see you next week. And travel light.